Well, good morning. How's everyone going? As Jess mentioned, first Sunday in church for 2018. You've made a great choice to be here. I'm excited to be kicking off our series on Planted, as Jess was speaking about just before. So excited. Let's just pray before we get into it. Hey, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to just be here this morning on this first Sunday of 2018. And Father, I just pray that this morning that you would speak to each and every one of us as we come to listen to your word this morning, Father. Just pray that your Holy Spirit would be here, minister to us, speak to us, we pray. In your name, amen. My name's Andrew. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the children and youth pastor, so I don't often get to stand up here. It's awesome to be standing up with the adults. And I've got some wonderful things to share this morning. I'm really excited about it. But first, how was your New Year's Eve? How did it go? Did everyone have a great time? Yes, I hear a few yeses. Did anyone have like a, it was okay? Was there any, it's okay? Was there any fizzles that just didn't happen at all? Oh, I was a fizzler. I didn't happen. My wife was sick, so she was in bed by 9 p.m. I was in bed by 10 p.m. I thought, well, if I'm not going to stay up to midnight, I might as well get up early next morning and go cycling, be productive on the first day of the year. Anyway, went to bed, put the alarm on for 5:30 a.m., got up, had breakfast. The kids were already up at this stage. And then I went to go get dressed and the cycling clothes were dirty. I hadn't done the washing. So not a new year, new me, same me. I always forget that. And anyway, so I ended up not going cycling and the kids were making lots of noise. I thought, this is it. I'm not going to go back to bed. The body's already awake. So it was a bit of a fizzle for me, the New Year's Eve. And this morning we're talking about planted. And particularly this morning, talking about being planted in the Word. And this fizzling experience to me happened when I was reading the Bible on Tuesday. And I was reading in my daily reading plan, and I've got like a year reading plan to read the whole Bible in a year. Last time it took me a year and a half to read it. Hopefully I can do better this time. We'll see how we go. Fingers crossed. But anyway, I was up to Numbers chapter 8, and I read it, and I was like, oh, this doesn't catch me at all. Nothing in this is gripping me. Nothing in this is interesting me. And I was almost going to skip over it to the next day, because I thought, well, I've got to get through this in a year. I need to catch up. I need to be in front of the game. But I stopped. I stopped myself and I was like, no, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna reread it. And I did. I stopped long enough and God actually spoke to me really powerfully. I'm gonna share a little bit about that in a minute. But sometimes we like that when we read the Bible. Sometimes it just jumps off the page to us. Other times, I don't know about you, but it's a bit of a fizzle. Sometimes nothing seems to stand out to us. Other times it's just completely boring. If you're reading Leviticus and you read a whole bunch of numbers and you're like, what on earth was that all about? Some bits are harder than others to understand. Numbers was a little bit like that for me. But if you've chosen to follow Jesus here this morning, you could probably think back in your life and think back to a time when you heard God speak to you, where you read that passage and it just jumped off the page. It was transformational. Or perhaps someone said something to you and it just really got you in your heart, and God actually spoke to you. Perhaps it was a dream, perhaps it was a vision. But most of us have probably had times in our life where God, we actually have felt him speak to us in a very real way. And this morning, as we look at being planted in the Word, I hope we can learn a little bit more about God's Word, about how to read his Word, and actually hear God speak to us more frequently because of that. I don't know about you, but the times in my life where I look back and think, well, God spoke to me a lot at that season of time, those particular times in my life were probably the times when I was troubled, when I was stressed, when I was hungrier to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God more often. I want to hear from God every day as I read his word. And one of the things I was thinking about is I can't control when someone's going to say something and God's going to speak to me through it, when God's going to give me a dream and he's going to speak to me that way, when I'm sitting in church and the preacher's speaking and he's like speaking directly to me, I can't control that. But what I can control is how I read God's word, which is awesome. God's already given it to us as his revelation of his love for us, as his story. I can control that. We can control that. We can control how we read. And I think that's amazing that God's already given us this amazing book that we can read. And one of the best investments I ever made when I was 18, in fact, was to buy this solid piece of work right here. This is a study Bible. Nowadays, I guess people study on their phones or tablets or whatever app perhaps you use. But this is probably one of the best investments I have made. And in reading it, I've had some amazing encounters with God. And I'll talk about Numbers 8 in a minute. But I want to get practical for a minute. And I want us to just put down our thinking caps. And this morning, I've done up a little guide. And I'll pass them out at the end of the service. You can take one. And it's just a little set of questions that helps us dig a little bit deeper. See, I'm not a gardener at all, by any stretch of the imagination. I find it quite ironic this morning. We have plastic plants on stage. So it really suits me. And there's fake grass at the back there as well. That really suits me. I'm not a gardener at all. I've killed many plants since I bought my house. The rental, not so much. When I used to rent, you had to keep things alive. But in my own house, I've killed many plants. I'm not a gardener at all. But one thing I did discover, and this is quite interesting, is that when you're digging in the soil, the good stuff's usually at the bottom. Sometimes the topsoil is good, but you get to the nuggets, the gold nuggets at the bottom. I've been fixing a lot of retic recently, and I discovered that the soil down the bottom where my sprinklers run is actually like really good soil right down the bottom, because it gets a lot of water and the roots go all the way down to that. And this morning I want to help us to dig a little bit deeper, to get a little bit better at listening to God as we read through His Word. And there's a couple of things I do when I read God's Word, and this is where I'm going to get practical. So the first thing, when I'm looking at a passage of Scripture, I ask the question, well, is this Old Covenant or New Covenant? Now, we just celebrated communion this morning. Celebrate the New Covenant that Jesus made by His death for us, His body and blood given for us. But a lot of the Bible, the Old Testament, is actually set in the Old Covenant before Jesus. In fact, even the Gospels we read, they're actually set in an Old Covenant where there were sacrifices that need to be made for your sin. Jesus hadn't died yet. There were sacrifices that need to be made. So even when Jesus is alive speaking, He's speaking to often the Jewish leaders, because He's like, well, you've missed the point. It's actually not about the sacrifices, it's about your heart. It's about how your relationship with God is. It's not about the law. So that's the first question I ask, because that helps me get an understanding of how I'm actually reading what I'm reading. So when I approach the Scripture, I know, oh, hang on a second, so is this Old or New Covenant? How is this being, who's this being spoken to? Now, the other thing I like to think when I read the Bible is that the whole Bible actually points towards Jesus. It actually points towards Him. Whether it points towards the fact that we need a Savior, if you're reading in the Old Testament, we see that much of that actually points to the fact that, well, people can't get to God by themselves. The law does not bring us closer to God. Or is it the New Testament, where a lot of the New Testament actually points us towards Jesus? And how do we actually apply what we know about Jesus in our own life? How do we become more like Jesus? And the third thing I think about when I'm approaching a Scripture is, what sort of Scripture am I reading? Is it the Psalms? Is it song? Is it poetry? Is it wisdom? Is it like Proverbs? When we read that, we see general wisdom that's universally true, but probably a little bit rubbery because our world is sinful. Or is it history? Is it Kings? Is it Samuel, the book of Samuel, where it just recounts story after story of God interacting with His people? Is it books of instruction, like much of the letters in the New Testament, where they're actually telling us how should we live? And then there's apocalyptic literature, which is Revelation, which talks about the end times. How will that look? How will that feel? A lot of it's imagery, a lot of it's metaphor. Completely different to if we're reading a historical book like Kings or Samuel Chronicles. And so there's many different sorts of books in the Old and New Testament. And they're the three big questions I ask when I'm coming to a passage of Scripture. And then when I get to a passage of Scripture, I actually go through an acronym called SOAP, S-O-A-P. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And that's what's on this little handout, which I'll hand out at the end of the service. And it's just got a set of questions based on those four letters, which we're going to run through. And it's a really simple thing. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus recently, this is an awesome way to read the Bible. If you've been reading the Bible your whole life, this will also challenge you. And we will see why in just a minute. Let's go to Numbers chapter 8. So we're going to read that this morning. If you want to follow on in your own Bible, you're welcome to. Otherwise, I'm going to read out of my trusty one here. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Your translation might be similar. Numbers 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that when he sets up the seven lamps in the lampstand, he is to place them so their light shines forward." So Aaron did this. He set up the seven lamps so they reflected their light forward, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The entire lampstand, from its base to its decorative blossoms, was made of beaten gold. It was built according to the exact design the Lord had shown Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel and make them ceremonially clean. Do this by sprinkling them with the water of purification and have them shave their entire body, washing their clothes. Then they will be ceremonially clean. Have them bring a young bull and a grain offering of choice mixed flour with olive oil, along with a second young bull for a sin offering. Then assemble the whole community of Israel and present the Levites at the entrance of the tabernacle. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel must lay their hands on them. Aaron must present the Levites to the Lord as a special offering for the people of Israel, and thus dedicating them to the Lord's service. Next, the Levites will lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls and present them to the Lord. One will be for a sin offering and the other will be for a burnt offering to make atonement for the Levites. Then have the Levites stand in front of Aaron and his sons and present them as a special offering to the Lord. In this way, you will set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel, and the Levites will belong to me. After this, they may go in and out of the tabernacle to do their work, because you have purified them and presented them as a special offering. Of all the people of Israel, the Levites are reserved for me. I've claimed them for myself in place of the firstborn sons of the Israelites. I've taken the Levites as their substitutes, for all the firstborn males among the people of Israel are mine, both people and animals. I set them apart for myself on the night that I killed all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. Yes, I claim the Levites in place of the firstborn sons of Israel. And of all the Israelites, I have assigned the Levites to Aaron and his sons, and they will serve in the tabernacle on behalf of the Israelites and make atonement for them, so no plague will strike them when they approach the sanctuary. So Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel dedicated the Levites carefully, following all the Lord's instructions to Moses. The Levites purified themselves and performed the rite of atonement over them to purify them. From then on, the Levites went into the tabernacle to perform their duties, helping Aaron and his sons. So they carried out all the commands that the Lord gave Moses concerning the Levites. The Lord also instructed Moses, "This is the rule the Levites must follow. They must begin serving the tabernacle at the age of 25, and they must retire at the age of 50. Wouldn't that be nice? After retirement, they may assist their fellow Levites by performing guard duty at the tabernacle, but they may not officiate in the service. This is how you will assign duties to the Levites." So that's the whole chapter of Numbers chapter 8. It's quite a long passage. There's a little bit of repetition in there. But we'll go through this, and I want to dig some things out of this, and I'll show you how I sort of stopped, how I dug things out of this. So there's a couple of questions that I ask under each of these different headings. Under the S in SOAP stands for Scripture. And honestly, I usually have to read things a second time. The first time I read it, I'm not going to do that now for sake of time. But often I'll listen to it, perhaps on my phone. I can play the Scripture through my app. And so I'll listen to the Scripture that I'm reading. And then as I do that, I'll read along with it. And I'll then go back and read it a bit slower and pick out bits that interest me. So that's the first thing I do, is I read it again, just to slow down. I don't know about you, but in this age of social media and things, my brain is buzz, 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 buzz. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? Sometimes I actually just have to stop and slow down and read it again. Because the first time I read it, I'll just go zing to the end, done. But I'm not going to actually stop. I'm not going to slow down enough to actually hear from God. So the first question I ask is, who's speaking? That's just a simple question. Who's speaking in this passage? Well, obviously it's God. It's God speaking instructions to Moses and the people of Israel. Now, the second question asks is, what is happening? It's pretty basic. What is happening in this passage? Well, for me, that is the Levites are happening, isn't it? They're sort of like the main center of attention, the Levites and God, and how God has chosen the Levites. So God is choosing them from among the people of Israel to serve him and to represent all of the people he's chosen, all of Israel. Who else is in the story? Obviously, the people of Israel in the story. And they can't approach God directly because of their sin. And so once the Levites have been made ceremonially clean, they are actually representing the Israelites before God. That's quite a different scenario to what we live in today, isn't it? Each of us, because of Jesus, can approach God directly. But in this culture, in this time, that was not how it was done. That was not the old covenant way. They had to go through the Levites. And there's this great picture in there of the people of Israel having to place their hand on the head of the Levites and dedicating them and saying, you will represent me before God. I find that's quite a powerful image. The O, I'm sort of drifting into the O here. O is for observation. And this is a great question to ask. What did it mean back then? And I've sort of talked about this, but in the Old Covenant, worship of God meant not going straight into his presence. Only Moses, and in this particular part of the history of Israel, could actually approach God directly and speak to him. And the Levites would come and offer sacrifices. And so worship was completely different to what we see today, where we can all be in God's presence. We can all stand before him. Totally different way of relating to God. And so this whole dedication of the Levites actually allowed the people to worship God in a way that was pleasing to him. And there's a really interesting little passage in there where it says that if the Israelites actually approached God, they would break out in plagues. I just find that quite interesting. And that captured my attention when I read it the second time. Oh, plagues would break out when they approached God. I find that quite interesting. That is what would happen back then if we actually approached God. The next question I ask when I'm looking at observations in this passage is, well, where is the wisdom and truth in this? Where is the wisdom and truth in this passage? Well, number one, God is central, isn't he? He starts by speaking instruction. But the wisdom for me is that God is holy. God always is holy. He hasn't changed either. And so for me, that is huge in this passage. God is holy, and this is how we can approach God, because he is holy. This is still the same today. God is still holy today. He's a holy God. He's set apart. He's different from us. And he is to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped. I find that is essential. This is the truth that I see in this passage. Because then we move on to application. So there's no point just leaving it at observation. If all we do is just like, okay, so this is what's happening. That does not bring transformation in our life. We need to apply it in our life and say, well, how does this actually apply to us today? And that's the next question. How does this apply to me today? Well, we don't live under the old covenant. We've been talking a lot about this old covenant, but we don't live in that reality today. We celebrate communion. There's a new covenant that Jesus instituted by his body, which is sacrificed in our place. He says in Luke 22, verse 20, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you, for me, for all time. And so this sacrificial system that the Levites had engaged with in Numbers 8 is actually done away with. We don't need that anymore. We don't need that anymore. Isn't that great? So what does that actually mean? Well, in Numbers 8, God chose the Levites to represent the people of Israel. And today, New Covenant, who is God choosing? He's choosing all of us. In fact, he's chosen the whole world. His son's sacrifice wasn't just for some. It was for the entire world, for all time. And so he hasn't just chosen a few. So we don't live in a reality where God has just chosen a few of us which are perhaps more special, more spiritual, more clean to go before God for you and for me. No, he's chosen each and every one of you to be able to go before him directly. That's a pretty powerful revelation that we see here in Numbers 8 when we read this passage. All of us are chosen. All of us have been made right, have been made ceremonial clean to come before God as we are because of the body and blood of Jesus which is spilt in our place, that sacrifice for us once and for all. Not an imperfect animal that needed to be continually to be sacrificed, a new one every time we sin, but the perfect sacrifice of God's own Son once and for all, for all of us. So I'm chosen, you're chosen, you are all chosen. This whole world has been chosen by God. So what does this mean? I find it quite interesting in Numbers 8 that the Levites were to represent the people and were there to represent and allow the people to come closer to God. Because if they did it themselves, that plague would break out. Because God is holy and he can't be present with people who aren't. But that's all changed now. So what are we chosen for? We're chosen to represent God to our world. The God that sent his Son to die for us. That's what each and every one of us have been chosen for. That's our job. That's our mission as followers of Jesus. The next question I ask when I read a passage is I say, well, where does this challenge me? And that's a pretty straightforward question here, I believe, for me. This challenges me because sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I don't represent God how I should in my workplace, in my family. And that's challenging for me. I don't know how that challenges you. And then the next question I always ask is, why does this challenge me? Why? Think a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper. Why does it challenge me? In what area does it challenge me? I live in a fallen world and I myself are broken. And so there's parts of me that I'm like, why did I do that? Here, when I read the scripture, when I dig deep enough, I'm allowing God to challenge me, to change me, to make a new heart in me. And as you dig deep in scripture, God will challenge you too. Now, the last piece of this puzzle, the P in SOAP, my acronym this morning. P is for prayer. And this is probably the most important thing we can finish as we read scripture with. Because I believe if all we do is head stuff, if all we do is think about scripture, that's great. But if we don't pray, if we don't allow God to actually transform us, then the transformation won't take place that we are looking for. And so this morning, I'll finish with P. And there's a couple of questions I always ask before I pray. And that is, what do I need to change? What do you need to change? Beginning of year 2018, what is it God is speaking to you about? It could be something in this passage. It actually could be something else that's not in the passage too that God might bring to your attention. But he's done that because you've stopped, you've paused, you've been concentrating and thinking on him. And so at this point, when you actually ask God for something, I believe he will answer you. And so perhaps this year God is calling you to spend more time in his word. Perhaps he's calling you to that difficult person at work to continue praying for them. Perhaps he's calling you to make a commitment to follow him again or for the first time. The second question I ask is, where do I need supernatural power? Where do I need the Holy Spirit to fill me and give me power so that I may represent him to this world? And it could be that difficult person that you've been praying for. Perhaps we all have that sort of person. I've got that sort of person at work. And as I was reading this, I was reminded again of the need to not just be a witness by myself, but to be a witness with the Holy Spirit's power. I think we all need that. Then the third question I always ask is, what does God want to say to me today? And normally when I'm asking these questions, I'm writing down stuff. I'm writing down these observations. I'm writing down what I'm thinking about. And so at this point in time, I'll stop and I actually say, God, what do you want to say? And often I'll just start writing something. And I believe God's actually speaking to me as I write that. But it could be other things. He could draw your attention to something in the passage. He could audibly speak. He could give you a gut feeling. He could give you a vision. He could bring someone into your life. But if we don't ask that question, then we're really cutting ourselves short, because that's where the rubber hits the road. If you've been reading your Bible the whole year, the whole life even, if you've been reading your Bible the whole of your life, but you fail to ask this question, then I think we're sort of cutting ourselves short a bit. Because God is always speaking. Sometimes we struggle to listen. It could be that we don't slow ourselves down enough. It could be just, we just don't ask. What are you saying? And then actually expect God to listen. Because I think we all want that. We all want to hear from God more this year. So I just want to finish with an encouragement. It's easy to get discouraged when we read scripture, because it can be tricky. Heck, I even remember reading the Apostle Peter, and he says, oh, geez, that guy Paul, that missionary dude, his writings are really difficult to read. Even he says it in scripture, that the Apostle Paul's writing in the New Testament is difficult. But I have confidence that if we just take the time to stop, if you just take the time to pause and just ask some questions about scripture, that the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given will illuminate, will bring it to life for you and for me. I have that confidence. I have that faith that the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. We just need to stop and listen. And so I just want to finish with a little scripture that I put on the back of this bookmark. And it's from Ephesians 3, verse 18 to 19. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love for you is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Just thank you so much that you've given us a revelation of your love. We don't have to go searching for it. We don't have to struggle to find it. But you've given it to us freely. Thank you so much for that. Father, I just pray that 2018, all of us here would just get a little bit better at listening to your voice. We are your sheep. You are the good shepherd. Father, when you call, may we not miss that. May we listen. May we be guided by your Spirit each and every day. So that, Father, we can represent you to our world, who is broken, who is desperate, who is hungry to hear from you. May each of us, in our own communities, in our own workplaces, in our own families, may we be your representatives. May we be a great witness for you. May this year, may we see our friends and our family make decisions for you. Find hope, find salvation in you. Father, we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, Jess.
Why don't we stand together to finish our service this morning?